I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Maybe this will be my year. What a year it has been indeed. Welcome to episode 3 of the lockdown series for the NRL SC Talk podcast. It's JT tonight. We're going to speak on a topic that's quite close to my fellow guest's heart here, the North Queensland Cowboys. So without further ado, welcome back to the pod, Benny G. How are you, mate?
Thanks, Jazzy T. I'm surviving in isolation, I guess, like everyone else. But yeah, good to be on the pod.
Mate, what a horrible world it is, hey, having to work away from people, away from colleagues, away from friends, family. All we've really got left, I guess, is marble racing, hey?
Well, I've got to be thankful that we both still have jobs. There's plenty out there that don't, so we've got to be thankful for that. But yeah, another thing to be thankful for is Jelly's marble runs. I don't know if you've, I think I've got you hooked on it now, but did you watch
Team Momo?
Yeah,
so not ideal. It's basically as good as the Cowboys have been doing the last couple of years, but yeah, I didn't pick very well.
You did all right. It's like when you picked Norwich in the Premier League, hey?
Yeah, but they might still stay up if this whole EPL thing gets scrapped. Wouldn't that be devastating for any fans of Liverpool out there, hey?
Yeah, I'm actually, as soon as I said that, I was like, why did I even bring that up?
I don't know how you're coping in this world without Supercoach, and I assume there's no Supercoach for Gels Marble Racing. You can bet on the weather. You can bet on what tie ScoMo is going to wear. There's still some things to fill the void, but I guess the reason you and I are here is the fact that we're Supercoach, I guess, Nuffies, fanatics at heart. So what we're doing over the, I guess, the downtime is just recollecting on the season that's been to date. Obviously, only a couple of rounds in. But there's a fair bit we can now look back on and consider based on our teams that we've pulled together so far, what we did wrong, who the players we need to target. So we're doing these team by team. So we've had the Broncos, Wennen and Wilf talked for about 7 hours about that garbage team. Bulldogs, speaking of garbage teams, we've had Joe Fitz on the pod as well with Lakey and Wennen last week. But this week, we finally get to the good teams, the North Queensland Mighty Cowboys. How about it, hey?
Get around it, boys.
Oh, that was your cue for yee-haw, mate. That was your cue. We all talked about this.
I can't. That's your cue. I can't steal it from you.
I guess, how good. I guess before we get started on the Cowboys and the good, bad, and the ugly, just a bit of a shout-out to a bit of a promotion we've had going on the last couple of podcasts here. So obviously there are a fair few people, as we've mentioned, doing it tough, especially the small business owners out there. Anyone out there who's listening to the podcast or even following the Twitter feed will see that we've reached out to anyone who might be affected and just wants a little bit of free advertising either on the site or the podcast. More than happy to shout you guys out. I'm sure every little bit counts, and it's a really bit of a tiny, basically the littlest we can do, I guess. So every little thing counts. So anyone out there that wants us to be shouting them out on the next podcast, please send your details in, and a bit of a rundown on what your business is and what we can do to help would be great to see. So without further ado, let's get into the good, bad, and the ugly for the North Queensland Cowboys.
Everything's good, Rob.
Yeah. God, that thing just goes on too long. Wennen, you need to cut that sound bite. the good, the bad, and the ugly. As you alluded to just before, not a lot of bad or ugly. It's all good here, right? We're 1-2. The season was good. We were just about to kickstart our premiership run, weren't we?
Yeah, I think we were massively robbed in the first game, though, but let's not go there.
Cowboys robbed 2020. They made it early, but this was meant to be our rematch as well this week. So I think it was round 5. We were due against the Bronx. So at 50-0, I could feel it.
Hopefully to us.
You and I have sat through many a Suncorp Stadium match where the result hasn't gone our way, but one day we'll get there.
Wasn't it the one time we were like, oh, yeah, all right, surely let's both take our partners, and then we're like, oh, who are we kidding? We never win at bloody Suncorp. And that was the one year that we did.
Yep. Oh, I remember that one. The Golden Point 2017, JT off the uprights. Instead, the one that we bloody go to is when Scott Bolton hits the upright and fails to score. Still hurts. Anyway, we're starting with the good here for the Cowboys on a Supercoach perspective. And obviously, the name at the top of the list, and hardly surprising at all, is Jason Taumalolo. You're an owner, I presume?
Definitely, mate, definitely.
Yeah, you wouldn't be on here if you weren't, but I think he's floating around 50% or so ownership. He's been in absolute beast mode since he started the season. So particularly that last game against the Dogs, I think he went close to tonning up, might have finished on a 99, but was basically unstoppable. I think he almost cleared the, or if I think he did clear the meterage record for a fraud. So incredible game from him, just whetting the appetite for a big season ahead, but I guess what have you liked from what you've seen of Lolo so far? Some Broncos fans out there got a bit sick of our trash talking. You can't silence us. Wenon's not here tonight. Anyway, as we were saying, Jason Taumalolo, how good?
Oh, mate, he's been an absolute beast. Just even just like watching him play, obviously we're talking about his Supercoach game, but just watching him on the field, he just makes meters for fun. I think I can't remember actually what the stats was, but he made like 25 runs or something in the last game, and 21 of them were like over, well, at least over the 8-meter mark, because he got bulk points for that. And also he's looking for points as well. I think the try that he scored, did he put Molo through like a
Francis
bit of a gap?
Molo,
and then he was backing up and, clear a tackle busted a few other people and got over the line. He's looking for work, which is exactly what we wanted from him. And his minutes, playing big minutes.
Mm. Yeah, it was a bit tough to tell in that round one game where I think Juzzy O went off the field about 5 minutes in, and they did that massive sort of reshuffling and moved Mitch Dunn out to
playing in centers against Stags. Like, great matchup there.
Yeah. Honestly, well, I think I'm so sick of seeing our bloody centres. I think it was Hampton last year, Juzzy O, all these guys used to get just knocked senseless, and we'd fill Cohen Hess in at centre to make up for it. It rang out like 2019 all over again. But, I mean, that might have boosted his minutes a little in round one. I think he was 77 or something like that. Against the Dogs, he got a 73. He got a bit more of a rest, I think, last time around against the Dogs. But all the signs are there that he's fit, he's raring to go. So I think that was sort of the area that the non-owners were targeting, just whether his minutes would keep up with Maguire back as well in round two. All the signs point to they will. So, yeah, I don't think there's really any cons to Lolo's list.
No, not at all. You just have to – I mean, I was close to not starting with him actually, but I'm very, very happy that I did.
Yeah, I mean, he was a huge price. So some people went down to either him or Haas. The fortunate ones out of us went both if we could find the cash. But there was that decision to make at the start of the year, and a few people went the other way, but it hasn't paid off. But I'd imagine come round three, whenever that is, you'll see a fair bit more of Lolo in Supercoach sides.
Definitely.
I guess that's – I don't think we need to talk as much on Lolo as we'd like to. We could probably fill a whole day with it. But I guess the next on my good list here, Scotty Drinkwater. Bit of a surprise packet for the start of the year. He's started with an absolute bang.
Yeah, he seems to be – like have decent enough stats base-wise, like gets enough tackles in. surprisingly, because I was a bit worried about his defense. But he just looked good with the ball. He's either setting up or he scored that try against the Dogs where he looks like he just jogged past Stimson and scored over the line. So he just, yeah, I didn't actually realize how good he did. I'm a non-owner, but looking back at his stats, I'm a little bit surprised at points-wise how well he did, but he did look good on the field, so.
And this is leading off of his NRL Nines tournament where he was one of the best on the park for the whole weekend. So he's carried that form in. Obviously, a two-game sample size is hard to judge. He's made a couple of errors in that time as well, as you'd expect. I think he's got less than 15 games under his belt. But for a 360K price tag, dual fullback 5'8", I know he's quite heavily owned as well at 15%. It's been well paid off at the start of the year. Would he be in your trade-in plans when we return?
Potentially. I have looked at it. There's a few other things I need to sort out in my team at the moment, but bringing him in is a potential. He's negative 34 break-even, so definitely going to make a bit of money, but I guess there's some unknowns about what's happening with the rest of this season, so I don't know what his draw is going to be like or anything like that, if it's going to stay the same or... But yeah, I'm looking at him, potential.
Yeah, there's a lot of room for price growth there. He's taken over Scott Drinkwater's spot at fullback here, but new addition to the side, Valentine Holmes. Very shaky start against the Broncos, spilled that bomb and looked pretty ordinary at the back in defence there. But in terms of super coach, he's been pretty solid. He got 63 points against the Dogs there for an average of 66. So he's looked relatively well settled in. That was a bit of a worry for mine when he first came here, how he'd fit into the attacking structure and how he'd go at the back after a year out, but looks to have hit the ground running pretty well.
Yeah, I had a lot of doubts over him. He's done a lot better than I thought he would. I just didn't think he had the attacking potential in him, but every time he's got the ball, he looks dangerous. Like you said, at the start of that, the Broncos game, I was a bit worried as a Cowboys fan watching him play. But then I think we had that set play where he just ran to the corner and dived over the field, and I was like, yeah, well, he's back. He's looking pretty good. I think even in the second half, didn't he, like, of the Broncos game, he was limping around in the second half, so he didn't actually do that much in the second half. Most of his points were scored in the first half, but he's still good enough to get a 69.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I think he came out and said he was blowing pretty hard. So in terms of match fitness, it seems like he's still got a way to go. And obviously this downtime sets him back quite a bit there as well. So he's effectively having to start from square one yet again. So that was a bit of another question mark for him. But surprisingly, 13% owned. He's a fullback-only option there. So I was a little surprised about that ownership. And if I can recall, some of the top scoring teams from round one and two had this guy in. So in terms of surprise packets, he's definitely up there in terms of what he's been able to put out super coach wise.
Yeah, I guess everyone just remembers his run home in 2018. They obviously went for slightly cheaper options at fullback rather than getting Teddy or Turbo or Ponga. and maybe they've put more money invested elsewhere into their team and they've reaped the rewards so far.
That is exactly right. Probably on the last list of the goods here is one of these rare cheapies that's actually turned out pretty handy so far this year, Benny Hampton. So in terms of surprise selections at the start of the year, he was a massive one. So he sort of came out of nowhere to find that wing spot for the boys. Very cheaply priced, so attracted quite a bit of attention there at about 240K. 18% ownership. He's looked probably one of our best the last couple of weeks. Well, the last two rounds, I would say, and his price is skyrocketing based on that average.
One of our best, maybe. He's looked busy. He's looked like he really wanted to get some work done, but every single time he runs the ball up, he looks like he's about to like get an injury or something. The defense absolutely smack him. I'm like, mate. You were too small to do what you're trying to do, but he keeps going to his credit. So, yeah.
Mm. In terms of job security, though, I guess that was the big question for a lot of people. And it looks like, it looks like based on the way he's playing, and I think he's one of Coach Green's favourites. So that spot seems to have been locked down for the time being. A couple of guys there on the radar. Tabuai Fido, who I still don't think is on the top 30 listing. Murray Talangi. There's a couple of guys there that were around the squad at the start of the season. But for mine, with the fact that the Q Cup guys weren't playing either and Hampton's got the incumbency, when we resume, I would imagine his stocks as a cheapie just continue to rise.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. I didn't think he'd be there come round two or three, but looks like he's got that spot.
Yeah, you were talking to me about this one before the pod. So we were running through our trades for the year and you mentioned a pretty weird one that you did in round one. You want to share that? Speaking of Ben Hampton.
Yeah, it was a weird one. I was all over Jack Williams in the preseason, and after seeing him in round one, don't get me started.
Missed a 3 minute. That brings me back.
But yeah, seeing him after round one, I had huge concerns. I just felt like the other Sharks forwards just had too much game time and were using the ball a lot more than he was. So I decided to take the early call and punt him in the first week. So I ended up bringing in a cheapy second rower who I will not mention. Terrible.
Jay Saifidi?
Potentially. But I ended up having to get rid of Hampton because I really wanted to bring in Isako. And so the trade ended up being a pretty good one, considering Jack Williams did terribly. And Isako got a 63 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you did break golden rule of Supercoach, mate. Never trade a Cowboy. Especially as a Cowboys fan yourself. You stick with the guys like Michael Morgan for the entire season, no matter where it gets you, all right?
Do a Bronco as well.
You're just trying to impress Wenin. That's clearly all that is. But you'll learn from those sort of mistakes, Rook.
I saw week three against the Titans, and Isako looked awesome in the first week. So.
Oh, yeah, the week three that unfortunately never came. Jeez, Wilfred was ready for Milford to go absolutely ballistic, but we'll have to wait a little while longer. It's probably all for mine on the goods. Is there anyone else on your list? Apart from Ethan. The entire team.
Ethan.
Oh, the master.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. A little bit under the radar, a little highly priced as a centre wing option, but have you liked what you've seen?
Yeah, he's 45 in base in the first week. He wasn't as busy in the second week against the Dogs, but still had a base of around 30. His price point isn't fantastic, but I mean, he scored 77 in that first week without scoring a try. I don't think he had a line break either. It was just all offloads, tackle busts, and just running the ball. He ran the ball like 23 times or something like that. So he just looked really, really busy. It didn't look as busy against the Dogs, but he's still got 47, and that's nothing to worry about too much for a centre wing. At his price, it's not fantastic, but if he's consistently hitting that 50 mark, I'd be pretty happy to have him in my team.
Yeah, and I think that's always been the question with him. So hard to read in my view, to a round one game at a brand new side, new stadium. all that adrenaline. And it was definitely the Masters of old. He didn't look hampered too much by ankle injuries and that sort of thing. But the big risk is that he can't be that consistent player he was in 2018. And the jury's still out for mine based on that Dogs game where he was a little more, in his shell. So he's a wait and see for mine. But there are guys like Mansour and that are proving themselves to be at that same sort of price mark, a fairly handy option as well, base point wise, but another one to throw to the mix.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyone else?
I think we're about to mention him in the next section, but Cohen Hess.
Yeah.
What was the next section that we were going to talk about?
Well, I couldn't really see any bad. So, I mean, there's some solid performers, I guess, and there's been some up and downs. And we've named two of them here. Now, rather than the bad, it's the middling. So I'll let you go on Coco, on Big Hesse. Up and down.
Yeah, well, I definitely didn't talk him up in the preseason. I didn't think he would start, even though he looked pretty good in the nines. I just thought that Shane Wright had that position locked down, but I mean, obviously, he's shown greeny enough in the preseason that he was ready for the 12 jersey again. And week one, he pretty much did exactly what I thought he would do, base of about 35 and not much else, just taking maybe 10 hit-ups max in the game, but didn't really do much else. And then week two against the Dogs, I mean, he got 77 with that try, and then foot grab away from another try and 100-point score. His game is very similar to David Fifita. His base points aren't great, so if he doesn't score, he'll score around in the 40s, maybe 50. But he just has the potential to get over the line. And with Drinkwater and Morgo playing the way they are, and Holmes back in the team, it's looking like he could score a fair few tries again this season.
Yeah, and I think is he 80 minutes for both of those games as well? Yeah, that was another question mark for him.
Correct, yeah.
So, yeah, 350K second row forward, pumping out those sort of numbers. As you said, he can be a bit quiet when he doesn't score, but I guess for that sort of price, you can sort of take those games as they come and wait for these try-scoring games. As you said, that could have easily been 100-plus. And an additional try assist to the man we're about to speak of, Michael Morgan. Very few owners this year for Morgo, but obviously I am one of those, one of the 4.3%. Morgo is another one that I had down as the middling sort of player, a bit like Anthony Milford. So he hasn't really kicked onto a huge score so far, but he's looked involved and looked, well, close to a 70, 80-point game last round, if Hesse could have just found his way across the line. But he's running the ball a fair bit. He's tackling. His base is right up there. It's just making sure he converts on these sort of opportunities close to the line, which he couldn't do last season. But so far for me, I'm not too disappointed as an owner, but can imagine there's no one out there screaming the house down to get Morgo into their side.
No, it's probably just Cowboys supporters only. Although I have really liked what I've seen. I just think with the inclusions of Drinkwater at six and Val Holmes at the back, and then also someone that will, I don't know if we'll talk about too much, but when Reece Robson's on the field, he just looks so dynamic and getting that quick play of the ball that it just sets Morgo up for that early ball, and which means he can do more with it, especially closer to the line.
Mm. Well, probably worth then moving on to the uglies for the side. And they're not overly super coach relevant, but they might become later in the year. One of them, not the ugly, but related to this player, Reece Robson, as you mentioned, one that I had down for the uglies was Jake Granville. Can barely get minutes on that park there. Looks completely outplayed whenever Reece Robson makes the field. Is his time in the NRL up?
It seems like it. He didn't have that many minutes. I think he didn't even play 60 minutes in the first week, and then last week he didn't even get through half a game. It seems like Robson's just the preferred choice, and as a supporter watching the game, Robson just clearly looked the dominant hooker. And I don't know how much longer Greeny's going to... I know Greeny's a big fan of Jake. I just don't know how long he'll last in that position.
I mean, it's hard to see him dropping out of the side completely for the remainder of the year, but if Reece Robson can suddenly get a share that's 55 to 60 minutes, he's 363K. Unfortunately, only locked into the hooking position, but if Jake Granville continues his ugly sort of ways from a Supercoach and NRL perspective, Reece Robson could shoot up the rankings in terms of players you're looking at later in the year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the only bad thing is that Greeny does love utility on the field, so it probably will be Jakey at the 14 position, or maybe Clifford down the road. But yeah, Robson, it looks good. It looks really good. Quick play of the ball.
The only other one on my ugly list is not very Supercoach relevant, but Juzzy O'Neill. In fact, not relevant at all at 0.5% ownership. But this is a guy, so if anyone's played draft out there, if you're doing when you're in the middle of the draft, it will sometimes default to the top player on the list if you don't get your draft pick in on time. And I was doing a draft with Darren Shockier, Will Shock, one of our mates, and a few others, and got to my turn, and I think we had 30 seconds on the clock, which is more than enough time for you. But in terms of me trying to get a draft pick in, sometimes if your internet fell out, it wouldn't be ideal. And in this case, it got to me, and Juzzy O'Neill was top of the list for centres because he's somehow priced at 533K. Looked away for a second, next minute he's in my draft side. So relevant to me, not relevant to anyone else, but he's currently sitting at a average of 33, priced at 533. So in terms of my draft side, you ruined it for the first 2 weeks, Juzzy O. Pick your game up, champ.
Mate, just own it. We know you picked him because you love him.
Well, that was a very Wilfred way of explaining away my Juzzy O'Neill ownership. It was the...
He doesn't even have an average of 33. He's got a total points of 33 from the two games.
I was looking at the wrong column. Oh, good Lord.
I mean,
any of the drafts
in the first game. So.
Well, that's it. He can only go up from there, surely. But any of the draft boys listening, I'm more than happy to arrange a trade when we're back up and running. But I guess that probably takes us. Is there anyone ugly on your list as well? Is this very, very rarely we would find anything ugly about the Cowboys? But
no, I mean, if anyone is thinking about picking Gavin Cooper, just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not really that relevant anyway. Everyone else... No, I think we've been the ones that we expected to do quite well have done well, and there's no one that we really expected to do really well that has just fallen off the face of the earth. So no one else.
Well, I guess that brings us to the end of middling in this case, and the uglies for the North Queensland Cowboys. So, I mean, we could talk for hours and hours about the boys in 2015. I think this Friday night as well, 7:30 p.m., they're going to be replaying the 2016 semi-final, Cowboys v Broncos, for any Broncos fans out there wanting to see JT in action in Golden Point again. But that will be on Fox Sports for anyone interested in their league fix while we're in this downtime. But, I guess all we can hope is that the NRL start taking the lead of the guys like UFC owner Dana White out there. So this week they were talking about, well, today they were talking about getting a island off the coast of some random country in the world to fly all the international fighters there and house and get them there for a couple of months and an isolated place in the US for American fighters. So where there is a will, there's a way. But yeah, what do you reckon about this whole sort of NRL island or NRL bubbles, as it might be? I guess we're dying for any sort of action, right?
Yeah, I was going to say if anyone can do it, Dana White is the person that could do it. He can form anything. He can make a fight go ahead. In the terms of NRL, I don't know. I mean, I think it has to for the whole competition to survive. I just don't know the logistics of it. I haven't read too much into it because at first I thought it was absolute. I didn't think it was real. I thought someone was just playing a prank or something like that. But I mean, the talks keep going ahead. There's rumors about players being told to start, they'll be training soon. You just don't know. And I haven't heard anything to say that it's not going to happen. So, I mean, I don't want to get my hopes up, but I hope it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just getting sick of all these, like, ex players top 17 for his club, and these are our top five wingers of the NRL era, and these are our top five, like, just so over these lists. Every ex player just
JT versus Kronk or something, who's the greatest?
Oh, mate, just give us the football back, or at least put the Marble Olympics on Fox Sports, please.
Please bring back the Marble Olympics.
Oh, boy. Well, you've been in a chat with WrestleMania fanatics all week as well. So, I mean, there's some stuff out there. You got your horse racing and all that. Why can't NRL come back if they can do it safely, hey? But I think that brings us to the end of our podcast number 3 for the lockdown edition for the NRL SC Talk. So, it's been a fun one. I've enjoyed talking about the Cowboys. Just makes me hungry for Supercoach to come back. I'm sure you're dying more than anyone, though.
Yeah, I'm missing it. I'm missing all forms of Supercoach in every different sport. But, just hope everyone stays safe and we can get through this together, I guess. Don't be a dickhead. Stay at home.
Don't be a dickhead indeed. Righto, Benny G, good to talk to you, mate. And I'll let you give the final yee-haw for the podcast.
Yee-haw!
Never again. See you, mate.
Where's the gold? See you, buddy.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.